Welcome back to Ed Bigotti, a show of random conversations by people with Bigotti. Sometimes educational, surprisingly insightful, but mostly random and tangential. Today, we're going to talk about summertime blues. It's scorching hot here. How about you, Eric?
It's the perfect weather for riding a motorcycle. That's all I'm going to say.
Have you been riding that motorcycle 24/7?
Not exactly. I mean, I do need to sleep and eat, but if I could, I would.
Still on that honeymoon period.
Yeah, definitely.
Today is mid-April, and for many of us Filipinos, it's summertime. And usually, by now, before COVID, we would be doing something like going to the beach, going to the mountains. Can you share some memories from childhood?
Well, to be honest, there's not a lot of memories of going anywhere special during summer. I just remember like snippets, like I think we went to a mountain resort one time, mm-hmm. and maybe going to the beach one time or a few times, and me doing some martial arts training camp or something. I don't really remember anymore. Yeah, because it was mostly just staying at home because my parents were both full-time workers, so they couldn't really get time off from work. Mm-hmm. So trips were quite rare, I would say, in our household.
Yeah, I suppose that's the same with me. We're not rich. Hopefully, we'll be. As for me, funny memory of mine is when I was little, we visited my cousin house. It's in the Iloilo. It's just one jeepney ride away, two jeepney rides.
Yeah.
At the time I was living in city proper and my cousin was living in La Paz. And that one summer, I'm not sure how old I was, probably during elementary years. So we went there. I think it was just a typical family lunch thing. But he had a PS1. So I wanted to play. I stayed overnight. And I think that extended to a week. And that somehow started me going there every summer until my family moved to La Paz as well. Yeah, because we're like you. We weren't really rich. But I do remember one time my family also traveled to Bora, and it was really nice during the 90s, before commercialization. There were long walks on the beach. The beachfront was really big, very white, sandy. It was really nice, and I've been back several times as well, but it just wasn't the same.
Right. Right.
But have you been to Bora during the 90s?
Mm. No, never. It never really crossed my mind because I was very small and I didn't have a lot of agency that time. And like I said, my parents were, you know, full-time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, working full-time. So they couldn't really take time off. Although they did mention that they themselves went to Boracay before it hit that kind of big commercialization boom.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, it was still a virgin island, basically.
Yep, it was really great. You mentioned extracurricular activities like sports. Like, I think this was Taekwondo, right? Because during the 90s, it was really big.
Yeah, this is true. Because there was, at the time, my mom was working for a research project, mm-hmm. that was housed within the University of the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there was also kind of like this Taekwondo
class,
summer class. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was held in the campus as well, but in a different place in the campus. I think she was the one who brought it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she said, like, hey, do you want to learn Taekwondo or something? Or was I the one? Anyway, I enrolled in that class and mm-hmm. I learned stuff. And then I stopped because it's expensive. So Yeah. So yeah, it was just for a summer, and then yeah, I actually still have my belt. The yellow belt. I still have my armor, or you know, the pads, the knee, the shin guards, the arm guards.
Are you sure you weren't scammed? I've also heard stories about there were many fake coaches because of the Taekwondo boom, and they wanted to capitalize on that.
Definitely not a scam, because one, this was the what was his name?
Sir Sim?
Yeah.
You got coached by Sir Sim?
Yeah, he was the one who taught me that class, basically. And during the, you know, that kind of like graduation where you move up a belt or a rank, yeah, it was kind of a big thing, a big affair.
Yeah,
I've got pictures here somewhere, and I don't know. Looking back, I was kind of like, what was I doing? Like, what the hell? But yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't meet Nikita during that time.
I'm not really sure where she studied. I don't know. I you know, my childhood is mostly a blur.
It's fine. As for me, I also did want to learn Taekwondo during the 90s. It was really big, like, especially with the commercials, with those Milo things. Yeah. Fortunately, although I think my parents agreed, I think, but at the same time, in our household, there were other kids. I think didn't want only me to be the only one getting these classes, so to not make other kids jealous. So,
right.
Yay me. Yeah, but it's fine. Looking back, while I was also a really sporty dude, I don't know. Maybe it would have been fun. I'm not sure. Overall, I'm still an introverted kid. I still preferred playing computers. And when I grew up a bit more during my teen years, I forgot about those Taekwondo classes. The other thing was art classes. Did you also go there? Take some during summer?
Definitely not. That is also something that is super expensive. And, you know, we couldn't afford that at that time. So, yeah.
Were these classes expensive? Because I guess during the summer, all the kids had nothing to do.
Yeah, especially if you lived in the city. They were expensive in the sense that you had to pay for the classes as well as for the materials. Yeah. So not much different from like learning a martial art, because you had to pay for the instructor and then all of the peripheral stuff that you have to pay, like your uniform and all that, which obviously is being sold by the instructor who you're paying for the classes for. But yeah, I don't really recall if there were any kind of art classes in the summer. I think I could remember some in a different campus, but I don't really recall if I had any interest. I mean, I was interested in art in general, and like how to draw and how to color and whatever, but I don't recall if I was really interested in the sense that I would ask my parents to maybe enroll me in those kinds of classes. But yeah, it was expensive, and I think if I can recall, it was mostly about just giving me a piece of paper and a pencil, and then just go do whatever. And I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. And that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's was me during childhood. I mean, as well, during the summer, was mostly just going. I don't know. I think I was just playing with the neighborhood kids. Luckily, during childhood, I lived close to a mall, like 2 blocks. So from time to time, I would just walk. It wasn't really a big mall. It was, you remember SM Delgado, right? It wasn't really a big mall during the 90s.
Yeah. I remember it had like the arcade.
But didn't they really also have any money as well?
Yeah. So this was at a time when SM Delgado, I think, was the only mall in the city. Oh, aside from, you know, the usual like Payless and whatever.
Yeah.
But SM was like the first one. And I recall that there was a Shakey's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall, like, the only memory I have of SM Delgado, specifically the arcade section, was that to get there, you have to go to the second floor. Mm-hmm. And you did that by walking up these metal stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember that my aunt at the time, my aunt kind of like brought her kid, my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And then my cousin was like, hey, well, you want to ride the horsies? Right? So but there was kind of like a mechanical horse, the white unicorn things, I think.
Not the carousel? Oh, wait, the carousel was with shakies, okay?
No, I meant like these, like, you know, the ones that kind of swayed back and forth, back and forth.
Right.
And I wanted to ride a similar thing, but I wanted to ride like the car or the truck thing. Yeah, yeah. But my aunt was like, no, you're going to have to go with your cousin because I don't want anything to happen to her or something like that. At a young age, I was like, what, 3 or 4 years old? I was expected to be a man by my aunt. I don't know. So, but the thing is, you know, I was and still am kind of terrified of heights. So you imagine, I don't know. I cried. I bawled my eyes out when I was put on the horse and it started rocking back and forth. I was like, no, get me off of this thing. And then my aunt was like, no, I paid for the token. You know, I paid for you to ride that. You're not getting off until that thing finishes. What? And my cousin was just like having the time of her life, like going, wee, you know, she's probably imagining herself as some kind of princess or whatever. Whereas me beside her, I'm like bawling my eyes out, like, well, I want my mommy. Like, what's going on? And I don't like this anymore. And I guess that's probably where my trauma of heights really comes from. Because it was really high off the ground. I don't recall ever being that high off the ground mm-hmm. without someone supporting my backside or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, the way that the horse was rocking back and forth, it felt like it was probably going to throw me off. So I was like, oh, no, I know what. I was holding on to the neck for dear
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was over, my aunt kind of like put me down. And then she was kind of berating me like,
why are you crying?
Why are you crying? Look at your cousin. She enjoyed it. Why didn't you enjoy it? I paid for it. Anyway, my aunt wasn't the best the best aunt, but you know. Those are my memories of that mall that you're talking about.
So would you say that was your worst summer memory?
I still remember it. Like, you know, this is a kind of memory that I guess has stayed with me for mm-hmm. decades, and man, that was traumatizing. Oh, for the record, I no longer talk to that aunt, so
yeah.
I severed ties with that.
Well, if we're talking about bad memories of during summer, I remember mine was still really fresh. It's been like a couple of years ago. It was actually my last summer trip before COVID struck. So what happened was, since me and my siblings are already working and my parents have some time off, so we made plans to go to Bulinao during the Holy Week. If you can't see where it is going, so essentially during the Holy Week, everybody is evacuating the city of Manila.
Right, right.
So there wasn't really a plan. It's just that they reserved a hotel already there. So what happened was, we met in Cubao, we ate dinner, and we were supposed to line up for a bus ride to Bulinao, which takes about 8 hours. So we finished dinner at around, say, 10 o'clock. And it's quite common here in Manila to have bus rides go overnight. While we're going to the terminal, we actually saw the line.
Yeah.
And I was really adamant of not going on this trip, especially during the Holy Week. But I guess it was the first time our family were free and had the money to go to somewhere far, I guess, or somewhere we haven't gone to, special place. So we trudged on. We actually waited in line for until like 5 in the morning.
Oh, geez.
And then we waited in line so that we can actually sit on the bus, because the trip was going to take 8 hours. at least. But some people would skip the lines, but they can't sit on the bus, the seats. So afterwards, there were other people just standing on the bus. And, you know, it hurts standing for a long time on a bus. Okay, so that happens. All right, we're sitting on the bus. We can finally have a nap, sleep. So I slept for about 4 hours as the bus left the terminal. Do you know how far we went in those 4 hours?
You weren't even out of the metro.
Yep.
Were you? Oh damn!
Oh my!
That's Manila traffic for you.
I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be this bad. And the plan was, since we were going to pass by the Hundred Islands, we were going to, I think, have a lunch there by during lunchtime. But after 4 hours, we weren't even past the metro. And the worst experience was, there was a family standing in the aisle, the bus aisle, and they had a kid or a baby, I'm not sure, right beside me. And do you know what happens to little children after long hours on a vehicle?
No, oh my god, I think I know.
The kid freaking vomited in the aisle. Luckily, I wasn't hit, but it was right beside me. The vomit, oh my fucking god.
Jesus. Well, okay, the vomit was kind of expected, but I was expecting it more like the kid kind of soiled himself or something.
Yeah, vomit. And the beach was very, very nice. It was white, and they had a lot of falls. But the thing is, the beach was also very rocky, so it wasn't very enjoyable. And they had a lot of seafood, but I think ours is still the best. Overall, the place, Bulinao, was very nice. It was very beautiful as well. But the whole trip itself was not recommended. Would not do that again. I would do it maybe on a different day. Just not right during Holy Week. Word of advice, don't go anywhere during Holy Week. You'll just be filled with other people. You won't get to enjoy whatever tourist spot you're going to be.
Just a qualifier, though, is that you don't go anywhere if you live in the in Metro Manila, which is known for its really, really bad traffic.
Yeah.
Like, really bad traffic. But if you live in the province, it's not much of a problem.
It can be still traffic, but not that much, yeah.
Yeah, it's not that much of a it's not much of an issue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of places are still, lots of places to discover in the provinces as well. Anyway.
During childhood, I kind of also hated summer. I mean, I like having no classes to go to, having all the free time. But it so happens my birthday is during the summer. And, you know, during the school year, my friends got to celebrate their birthdays with our friends, well, during elementary. I guess being a kid, I wasn't really popular, and I also thought maybe if I had a birthday during the school year, I could gain more friends. Was this also an issue for you, or didn't really care? Because I know we have...
Oh, yeah, we share the same birth month. Yeah, I would say, I think you're referring to kind of like whenever your classmates have or friends have a birthday, it's celebrated in the school.
Yeah.
Where either the family comes with some food and everybody gets to eat, there's a program and whatever.
Or not necessarily like that. I mean, just a simple celebration food, and sometimes you get gifts. And I didn't get that.
And also, I mean, I personally had some classmates who had rented like Jollibee.
Whoa.
With the mascot and stuff. They would go to the school, and there's kind of like a 1 hour, 1 hour celebration thing where you sing, you know, you play some games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted that as well when I was a kid, because when you're a kid, the urge to feel,
mm-hmm,
or the urge to want to belong,
mm-hmm,
to have those kinds of things is, it's kind of like, yeah, it's very strong, and you'd like, I want to have that too. And then kind of a cold splash of reality is kind of like, we can't afford that. So I'm like, yeah, we can afford having a birthday party just for us and some family and maybe some friends of yours. I mean, not too many, maybe two or three.
Yeah.
The problem was it was in the middle of summer, or in my case, it was the tail end of summer.
Mm-hmm.
And usually my friends, the few people that I had at the time, either A, weren't allowed to go out by their parents, B, were on trips of their own,
mm-hmm.
or C, just weren't interested. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. It's fine, I guess.
I mean, it's fine. This developed into me, if you notice, if everybody's available during the summer, I would invite you guys to go out, to have fun, to drink, to eat during my birthday. And also, we just kind of like double celebrate our birthdays as well during this time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
It was also, if you remember that one time where you celebrated four birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
with the you know what. Where there was the one camp doing the you know what, and then the other camp was drinking the you know what as well. I'm sure you remember this. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like over the years, you grow up and you realize that, okay, because there are some things that as a kid you didn't realize, that you know, what's the reality of, like, what's the budget necessary to do those kinds of things. And you know, knowing that your parents weren't in a place to provide you with that kind of thing, and then you can also kind of A, learn to deal with it, and B, kind of just know that you learn to not care about it. Me specifically, if my friends aren't around or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I usually just stick to like, okay, let's just eat something that we don't really normally eat, like a special meal or something. But then otherwise, I don't really celebrate my birthday with a lot of fanfare or brouhaha. I mean, there was one time in one of the companies that I worked for that I tried to hide from my coworkers, because I mean, it's just for me. I don't know how you guys would feel about this, but for me, it's just a day. I mean,
yeah
okay, it's a day. Don't, or is it, or maybe it's because I'm also kind of averse to getting or being in the spotlight. I don't want people to make such a big deal about it. Like, okay, yeah, happy birthday. That's it. We're done. I'm probably gonna buy some pizza, maybe some ice cream or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave it at that. Don't give me a lot of fanfare, because mm-hmm. I hate it. I really, really hate it. So yeah, because what my coworkers did was kind of like, they had this cake and they were going to come to my office and sing me the birthday song. Yeah. I kind of had to find ways to fit myself outside near an AC unit, just to hide from them. That's how much I don't like the attention.
Yeah. Well, as for me, by now, I also think it's just another day. But at the same time, I want that day, my birthday, is to be a day that I get to do what I want. Not necessarily just trouble people. But what I usually want to do is have fun, spend time with my friends. So that's, and at the same time, to compensate for my childhood, it's kind of, I kind of made it into like some sort of celebration sometimes. So we eat, drink, have fun, then go on our merry ways.
I can definitely relate to that.
I mean, but with regards to like having random people in an office settings, they also had that in my previous company as well. They just gave us a cake, sang the birthday song, picture, and like, yay, smile, go eat.
I don't like that. I honestly hate it.
I'm more on the, yeah, I don't really like that, but I'm more like, let's just get this over with. Yeah, while you just hassled yourself going to whatever.
I mean, I really don't like it. I will put up a fuss. I will put up more of a fuss. Like, don't put me in pictures or videos as much as possible. It honestly, my coworkers had a bull of a time of getting me to do stuff that required my, like, they wanted me to pose for pictures. I'm like, no. They want my voice for some voiceover work. I'm like, no. And I'm like, no. And I mean, I can accept me doing something, but putting my, you know, like putting my face there, I'm like, not that. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, one thing that I kind of liked about summer, because there's something that you also mentioned a while ago, is mm-hmm. hanging out with the neighborhood kids.
Yeah,
there was a time where I lived in a subdivision just a few kilometers away from the city, mm-hmm. although it's technically still within the city, but it was kind of like the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just playing around with this kind of, I guess I could call it a gang. I was like really young. I was 6 or 7 years old, mm-hmm. hanging out with the big kids.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we building a tree house and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. although I wasn't as extreme as my parents' childhoods, where they declared literal gang wars with other rivals, kid gangs.
What the?
I mean, not a literal gang war, but kind of like kid fights or whatever, play fights.
So what do they do? Throw rocks?
I don't know. I think they played like competitive games, throwing rocks. I don't know. I have no idea. Kids were really extreme before the internet.
Competitive jump rope.
competitive Chinese garter, I guess. Like, how high can you jump?
And also a fond memory during summer was, for me, well, we call it leagues, basketball leagues.
Oh, yeah.
Since I'm a sporty guy, I was able to compete. So I won't say I'm really the best basketball player among my friends, but during this summer, I was like high school, till end of high school. So the first time I entered this league for our barangay, I was just a bench guy. I played little time. But in the second year, the next following year, I was probably fourth year high school. The basketball coach was my uncle, and some nepotism happened, and I was like in the starting five, and we got to the finals. And because the finals was a best of three, and the first game we lost, and you know the toxic culture, we got blamed, and with me and my uncle didn't go to the next game. A bit of a bad, I guess. That was really bad. That was very immature of me. But it was also a fond memory of being able to compete up to the finals of a basketball league.
That's kind of one thing that I can't really relate to, because I didn't discover sports until, I don't know, until college.
Yeah. I mean, during our barangays probably only had volleyball and basketball. I mean, there were kids playing badminton, but not really the badminton you're used to right now.
Yeah. It's kind of like the street, just whatever, hitting the ball. There's another thing, summer treats, summer food. You have your halo-halo, your mais con hielo.
Oh my God.
And the eponymous, is that even a correct word? You know, ice candy. This is every time, like it was in the middle of March, April, mm-hmm. May until June. People would sell different flavors of ice candy. Mm-hmm. I remember that we used to sell melon and avocado flavored ice candy.
Avocado.
We sold chocolate and orange ice candy. Mm-hmm. And you know those guys who go around on their bikes,
mm-hmm.
with the big styrofoam,
mm-hmm. selling
ice cream and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a fond memory for me, because usually we don't have, now we offer that almost year round.
Yeah.
But back then, especially for halo-halo, like even it's in the middle of goddamn December where you're shaking your balls off, you don't really see restaurants offering to sell halo-halo.
Yeah.
But the store-bought halo-halo or the restaurant halo-halo, they're not as good as the street ones, the homemade ones. And you can really see authentic halo halo when it's in the middle of summer or it's summertime, like April to May. And you can get it for cheap. I remember that you can get like a huge ass bowl for like 10 pesos or even cheaper. And it will be full of you know, all of the fixings and stuff like that, and you mix it around. Yeah, and,
I also like Hollow Hollow, but I'm not really a fan of sweet things. So, but I also did try. I mean, I was also a kid, but my favorite summer food. Well, actually, it's my favorite merienda food, especially during the summer. It was bok choy. It was a really weird combination. But bear with me. I'll explain, because it's really hot. And when you get to eat hot food, somehow your body temperature changes and you would be feeling cool afterwards, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, because you sweat more, your body compensates, makes you sweat more. Your internal or your central body heat kind of drops a bit, and then of course the cooling and the sweat, you know, that's how your body makes sure that you are cool. That's it's basically kind of your internal temperature regulator, or whatever.
Previously, during our post-pandemic plans episode, I'll admit I'm wrong. I was expecting by the end of the summer, vaccine's gonna roll out, we would be able to not really go anywhere, but can do summer plans. Well, luckily, and kudos to you guys over there in Iloilo, it's not as, well, you're not as infected as us. Infected, is that the word?
Not as infected, Jesus.
Well, do you have less people who are positive and just you're able to go out? I mean, still scary, and you should always have caution. Do you have any summer plans coming up, or is it still the same badminton?
Well, obviously, that's not going to change. The badminton is going to be something that I'm going to be doing for a very long time now. Summer, specifically summer activities within the family, I don't think so, because obviously I don't want to expose my parents to that kind of risk. But also in May, I'm probably gonna hang out with a couple of former coworkers. They've been reaching out to me and kind of like inviting me to go to the beach, get plastered. I'm not looking forward to it in the sense that, you know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic, and even if these people are people you know, we can't really guarantee 100% that they haven't interacted with someone who isn't, you know, positive or symptomatic or whatever.
Yep.
And I do have some of my doubts. That's probably what's going to happen. Also, just to kind of like to share the news a bit, is that one of our friend group, Ming, finally got his car. And
holy
shit. Yeah. So like I mentioned to them last night, I'm going to say, hey, so is it time for us to plan our itinerary for our road trip?
Yeah,
so maybe that's coming up soon. I don't know, because I haven't really been keeping up with the news lately in terms of border restrictions. But we'll see.
I was gonna mention, since you also had a motorcycle now, you were going to do your long ass road trips. But that's news to me.
Yeah, the motorcycle thing. I'm still getting used to it. Maybe my first filter change, which is coming in the next 400 kilometers. I'll do that. Then I can start planning for that. But so far, not yet.
Yep. As for me, before I really wanted to go to the beach or go to somewhere, but when the vaccinations comes in and when travel is safe, I just really want to go home, meet the family, hang out with you guys over there. But since that's not yet anytime soon, probably during the next month, during my birthday, if possible, I would like to go eat to a Japanese restaurant with my friends here, but not too many, like me, my girlfriend Nikita, and probably Charlie, just three of us. But if not possible, I'll just probably take out.
right.
But that's why we're having summertime blues, because we're still having cabin fever over here.
Well, yeah, because of the NCR Plus thing.
Yeah,
we were actually talking about it last night, where we're kind of lucky that we're not included in the NCR Plus, but it's just a matter of time before Iloilo is included in the NCR Plus Plus. So who knows, right?
Yeah.
We might be among your numbers soon if we don't control this.
Well,
the spread.
Yeah, I mean, I can totally see, because like you guys, I mean, you've been doing activities where you get close contact with, well, not really close contact, but a lot of activities. I think just be safe. It seems that some of the people over there are getting lax.
Yeah, we've kind of like reached this point where people are like thinking that it's been a year and I haven't been infected, so whatever.
Yep.
And you can start seeing that there are some establishments where people aren't wearing masks anymore.
What the fuck?
So hopefully, you know, like I said, it's going to be 2025 when things start normalizing.
Oh my God. All right. Here's to you hoping 2025 we get to have coffee once again.
Thanks for listening to Wet Bigote, a show of random conversations by people with bigote. If you enjoyed this episode and don't want to miss out, follow us on Spotify, Facebook, and Twitter at Wet Bigote. Tell your friends about us and share the love. We appreciate the support. Until next time, you can find the full list of episodes on Spotify on bit.ly/wetbigote. Send us your feedback by going to bit.ly/wetbigotefeedback.
Cheers.
Bye. Bye.